Good evening.
Good evening.
Well, as usual, I have wonderful news for you. But before I get into the wonderful news, we're always talking about listening to our mind and what's going on with our conversation, that internal conversation that continually yaps at us all the time. I just went into the men's room there, and my mind said, Dallas, you're getting worse. Where did it come from?
At what? Everything?
At everything.
Ooh, it didn't even specify.
Oh, it just merely said, Dallas, you're getting worse.
Wow.
Now, you have to look at that immediately, and you have to argue with that, and you have to say that is not true. Remember, you must argue with your mind like a lawyer in front of a judge, and you must always make sure that you win. But when we hear these things, wherever they pop up from in consciousness, or it could be a thought atmosphere that was going on, who knows why it popped up. But you cannot believe that. You have to remember that you are not your mind. Your mind is yours. And at that moment, whatever was in there, whatever happened, that just popped up. And I looked at it and said, this is not the truth. This is not the truth. So this is the way you handle thoughts that come into your mind. You have to get rid of them. But you see, I tell you this because if it happens to me, it happens to everybody.
No,
you see.
No.
No. And most people think, oh, it's only happening to me, and that it's real, and that it's true, because my mind wouldn't lie to me. I want to tell you, your mind lies to you most of the time. It lies to you most of the time. It makes up things. It does all kinds of crazy things. You have to be alert. You have to be awake. You have to be aware. And when those things come up, you have to be able to say, this is not the truth. Day, what just happened was, before the class, I went into the men's room, and on the way in, my mind said, Dallas, you're getting worse.
Probably.
Worse at what? Worse at anything. But you have to look at that and say, well, this is not true. This is not true. So the idea is to hear that and not react to it and realize it's just a thought that's passing through. And then you must sit down and say, this is not the truth. I am getting better and better. In every way and every day, I'm getting better and better. But we allow our mind to tell us something like that. Then we go to that and we start saying, well, why am I getting worse? And if you ask the question why, your mind is going to tell you.
Yes.
And it's just going to list out everything since you were born, before how you got worse. So you can't listen to that type of thing. This is the whole idea of this teaching, to learn to think the thoughts that you want to think and feel the feelings that you want to feel. The whole idea is to be able to think correctly and not allow this mind chatter, this yama yama, or the monkey mind, whatever you want to call it, to rule your life. You have to take charge of your own thinking. And you have to argue with your mind and make sure that you always win. Okay? Now, with that, of course, I always have good news, and this was given to me by Reva. And, of course, I'm going to read the whole thing because it's absolutely wonderful. And it says, insist on yourself, never imitate. Every great man is unique. This was Ralph Waldo Emerson. The mind is the creative factor within us. And when the mind takes its pattern after the spirit, it automatically renews the outer man after the holiness or wholeness. That's from Science of Mind book. Now, it took me a while to discover that I was made in the image and likeness of God. This is absolutely true. We're all made in the image and likeness of God. But we're made inwardly in the image and likeness of God. God does not look like a human being. because God is not a human being. God creates human beings, but God is not a human being. And God has none of the characteristics of a human being. God is anthropomorphic, meaning that it doesn't have arms, legs, a head, eyes, and mouth. The hands of God are these hands, are your hands. But God in itself does not have those qualities. And this is where people get themselves into trouble. Because the God that they have imagined in their mind is a God that looks very much like a human being, and a God that can be angry, a God that can be spiteful, a God that can be hateful and mean. That is absolutely not true. If you have that going on in your consciousness, give that idea up. The God that we're talking about here is pure energy, pure intelligence, and pure love. It has nothing to do with man-made qualities. Okay? So, I heard it, I read it, but it did not seem to apply to me in a particular way. It was after I had been writing for a few decades that I discovered that it is the spirit within me that was doing the writing, especially when it was good. We are each being used by spirit to create. This is what God does. God works in, as, and through you, in, as, and through me, in, as, and through everything. So when you want creativity in your life, you affirm that this thing that we call God is operating in, as, and through you. And the creativity will pour through you. All people that are artistic, artists, actors, and so forth, know this, that something comes through them. And that's what's doing the acting. So it's the whole idea which Emerson said before. Move your bloated nothingness out of the way so that this spirit can come through you. So that it can come through you and so that you can use it. Each time we think a thought, we create something. When we are conscious of ourselves as creative beings, we can choose thoughts and actions that restore us to our true self. What is our true self? We are made in the image and likeness of God. We are pure spirit, housed in a human body. We are just using these bodies. These bodies are the horse that we are riding through life. That is all your body is. When I first became acquainted with the Science of Mind principles, I fell in love with Ralph Waldo Emerson because he was such a champion of individualism. As I came to understand that we are unique emanations of God incarnated for its own self-knowingness, that is how God knows itself through us. Each and every experience we have is a God experience. We are experiencing things. When we experience things, God experiences things. When we think, God thinks. When we think, God thinks. There is only one mind that we all live, move, and have our being in. And you cannot think a thought without using that mind. So when we think, God thinks. Why is that so important to know? Pardon?
It's a mental universe.
It's a mental universe, and it's so important to know because if it were any other way, there would be separation. And there's only ever unity, you see. So when we think, God has to think. And when God thinks, we have to think. It's one and the same thing. We say the big mind of God because we all live, move, and have our being in that mind. So think of the ocean. All the waves are individual. All the waves are unique. You can compare yourself to a wave in an ocean. But the ocean is there. The mind is there, and we have to use it. But we are the ripples. We are the waves in that ocean, you see. So we're always connected. We're always connected to this power. We cannot. There's no way that you cannot be connected to this power. Whether you happen to be living on this plane of action or you've made your transition to another plane of action, you're always connected to this thing that we call God, because God always was, always will be. You've heard that in church many times, a world without end. And that is what it is. We are without end. I keep going back to Emerson for the glimmers he offers about hearing our own unique voice. In one of our centers, they give newcomers a rose, and the minister speaks of how each visitor is a unique expression of God. This ritual resonates with my soul because it is true. How wonderful to celebrate the many aspects of God and many aspects of God as me and as if you. It's always you as God. Always you as God, or God as you, because that's the only life there is. It's the only intelligence there is. So we all have the exact same amount of intelligence and the exact same amount of life, because God wouldn't give me 10% and you 15% and somebody else. You see, we're 100% God beings. So you have to realize your own uniqueness and like yourself just the way you are. That you are a unique individual, and you are a unique, individualized expression of God. You see, what happens to us is we like to compare all the time. Our mind, this finite mind, compares. It says, oh, I don't look like John. You see, well, that's true. If you use your eyes, you see. But we know at a deeper level, we are all connected. We are all connected. But we let the outside world, and especially Madison Avenue, tell us what is appropriate. What is good looking, what is not good looking. And then we look in the mirror and we say, well, I don't have that. My hair is starting to recede, so therefore I must not be good looking. Because everyone wants somebody with a full set of hair. Well, that's not true. But we do that to our own selves. We do that to our own selves instead of saying, I'm delighted. I am delighted with myself. I know that I'm a unique expression of God. And I'm delighted that I don't look like anybody else. Why would you want to imitate? Remember what Emerson said here? Insist on yourself. Never imitate. Every great man is unique. Every great man is you, Nancy. She said, the idea is not to imitate. And the world wants you to imitate. The world always wants you to look like everybody else. You don't have to look like everybody else. You don't have to dress like everybody else. What you want to do is find your unique voice in this. Because you're connected to God. And God has something special for every one of us, and a voice for every one of us to use. So yes, somebody, you look at somebody and you say, oh, well, they have that talent. I don't have that talent. You could have that talent if you got interested in it, and if you really explored it, you could have it. But you have something else that makes you unique. So don't always think, oh, I'm not unique, I can't do this, because that person is more important. That person does something different than I do. Learn to be your own person. Learn to accept your own uniqueness. And you'll find that your life will be much better when you realize what marvelous individuals you are. How great you are. How magnificent you are. These are the things that you want to do, especially when you're alone and looking in a mirror. You have to be able to see yourself as that magnificence. And you have to always remember that you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. These are essential things that you need to learn about yourself. They are intrinsic within you. They are already inside of you. You must draw them out by getting rid of all the negative thoughts that tell you that that isn't true. That tell you that that isn't true. You knew that a way back when. And then somebody started to take it away from you. And you allowed them to take it away from you. Now, claim those qualities for yourself again. And start acting like you already have them. And they will be yours. William Shakespeare said, assume a virtue if you have it not. Assume it because it's inside of you and you can have it. You say, oh, that person has that quality. I don't have that quality. You can have that quality. There's nothing that you cannot have. But you have to do it for yourself. And you have to see your uniqueness. Always how unique you are, how wonderful you are. And find your voice. How many times have you heard that? Find your own voice. So, find out who you really are and all the wonderful talents and all the wonderful things that are inside. But most, no one is here with less than anybody else on this plane of action. No one. In fact, I can make the big statement, no one in the universe is less than anybody else. No one. We are all magnificent beings. And that's what we have to remember. And on this plane of action, we remember that we're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that we matter. With that, let's do the matter dance.
I matter, I matter, I really, really matter, I matter, I matter. I really, really matter.
Woohoo! So it is.
For the newcomers, that is a little dance that we do, which is very, very important. And why we have the young man here, I will tell you a quick story that actually happened. Two children arrived in a town. And their parents wanted to send them to a Sunday school, and they didn't know what Sunday school. And lo and behold, right around the corner was a religious science church. So they sent the young people off to Sunday school at the religious science church. When they came back home, the mother said, what did you learn? And they said, Mother, we learned that we're wonderful. She said, well, we'll never take you back to that place.
What?
Yes, because that's not what you're supposed to learn in Sunday school. You're supposed to learn about suffering. You're supposed to learn that you're not as great as this man called Jesus. You're supposed to learn all these different things. So, when you realize that you're wonderful, people look at you like, what? How can you be wonderful? Who do you think you are? Be wonderful, people. Know how wonderful you are. Are we still doing wonderful, wonderful me? You have to know how wonderful you are all the time. You see? And don't buy in to all that other stuff that's out there. Don't buy into it. Because it's there. So, with that, let's do a spiritual mind treatment. And for the new people, when I say spiritual mind treatment, it's just a form of prayer. It's an affirmative form of prayer. We are only affirming or reaffirming what the universe already knows about us. I will do this in the first person, and all those who are willing may take it for themselves in the first person. And this is even except for myself. I am absolutely one with the only power in the universe, the only life in the universe, and the only intelligence of the universe. And I happen to call that God. And I am delighted to be part of that. I know that that power is in me every minute of every day. That every cell in my body is alive with that power. And I have over 50 trillion cells in my body. And they all vibrate with light. They all vibrate with that goodness. And they all attract to me all the abundance, all the prosperity, and the money that I need to have a wonderful, successful life. I allow this power to do its wonderful work in, as, and through me, and all around me, always bringing me to my highest and best good. And I allow that to be so, and so it is. Affirmative prayer is always affirming something good about yourself. We don't need to know any of the bad stuff. That is not what we're about. That is not what we're about. That's what the world is about, to point out the bad things in life. Last night, for some reason, I turned on the television set, which is always a mistake for me. And I went from channel to channel to channel, where they talked nothing about the war, nothing but the war in Iran, Afghanistan, and someplace else that was going on. All it was about was killing people and how bad people were. And that is not true. That is not true. Yes, there's a lot of that stuff going on out there. But we do not have to participate in it. And it does not have to be drawn into our universe. It does not have to be drawn into our universe. When we concentrate on all those things, we draw those things in. We start to see life completely differently, and we think, oh, well, people are always killing each other. This is always happening, and that is always happening. And we start to live in fear. That fear will attract something to you and will prove to you that you are right about that. I had a client in my home on Saturday. And through our discussion, she stopped all of a sudden. She said, you know, Dallas, I'm so filled with fear because I'm taking my niece out. And she's only 5 years old, and I'm afraid this will happen and that will happen. And then I said, now let's not get into that. Let's look at this. Let's not create that reality. Fear will create a reality faster than anything I know. So then, when I was doing hypnotherapy on her, she stopped in the middle of it and said, Dallas, I'm so filled with fear. I'm so filled with fear. When she went out on my street, somebody had broke the window in her car. Nothing was taken, but the window was broken. I looked up and down the street. Not a soul on that street. Not a soul on the street. John's been to my home. You've been to my home. You've been to my home. You've been to my home. I live in a very good neighborhood. I live in a very quiet street. Those things do not happen on my street. But her fear brought that to her. Brought that to her. Now, the other thing is, when I go out of my home, usually I don't lock the door. That day, when I left, I locked the door. Because of any residual fear that she left behind, I was not having it drawn into my environment. Into my environment. Now, she does not know that. The next time she comes back, I will try to explain to her how she created that reality. She created that on her own. Nothing is by chance or accident. There's no such thing as something random. The universe is always in divine right order. These things do not happen. But they do happen when your mind is loaded with fear. You draw that right to you. So if you know how powerful you are by drawing the bad things to you, and most people can do that and they never realize, they'll say, look at all the bad stuff that happens to me. Every time I go out, this happens, that happens, this, da, 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 da. Now, why can't you draw the good stuff to you?
Yes.
You see, if you can draw the bad stuff, you can draw the good stuff. And why don't we draw the good stuff to us?
Because we don't worthy. Believe that we're worthy or deserving of love.
Absolutely. As soon as you know those four things.
What is the fourth thing?
You have to know that you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. And then, good will come to you. Good will come to you. Mm-hmm. And as soon as she had that fear, she should have stopped her mind and stopped that. That's exactly the law of attraction. That's exactly what the secret is all about. And it was that powerful. And she drew that into her lickety-split. But I was not going to be in that atmosphere. So I locked my door that day. Now that's all gone. Because we can be in somebody else's thought atmosphere and things will happen to us. Because they are loaded with fear. So stay away from people that are loaded with fear. Learn to be around people that are uplifting, that are wonderful, that say wonderful things about themselves and about you, that say wonderful things about the world around them, about this whole planet that we live in, instead of saying, oh, isn't that awful? Isn't this a mess? Isn't da 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 da? It's not a mess. The world is beautiful. Yes, we have pockets of wars and different things going on. But that's in somebody else's universe. You do not have to join in that universe. Those things would be gone if they weren't in race mind all the time. And war would be gone. But what do we always say about war? We've always had wars. Instead of saying, it's time that we no longer do this. So we always do that. And we're going to always have it. Why are we going to always have war?
Because we say that's the way it is.
We say that's the way it is, and we prepare for it all the time. We don't want war, but we prepare for it all the time. If you prepare for something, you're going to get it. So here again, how many people are preparing for their good to arrive? How many people are preparing for all the money that you want? You have to start preparing. You see? You have to do that. When you start preparing for something, you're going to get it. It's the same thing. You can see it over here, but you can't translate it to over here. Remember? Look at this. If you're sitting here and here's a garbage heap and there's the garden, now you have a choice. Which one am I going to look at? Look at the garden. Look at the garden. You see, when your head is turned this way, you're not seeing the garden. The garden still exists, does it not? Mm-hmm. But you're not focusing on it. You're not looking at it. You have to look at it. How many people know the expression, turn the other cheek? And how many people believe that that means if somebody slaps you on this cheek, you turn and let them slap you on that cheek? You've been taught that in many religions, teach you that. Metaphysically, to turn the other cheek means if I'm over here looking, I turn my cheek in that direction and I look at the garden. That's what turn the other cheek means. It doesn't mean to get slapped in the face. It means to change your mind. It means to change your mind. Turn the other cheek. Change your mind about it. So you have to change your mind about the world that you live in. And you certainly have to change your mind about yourself. When you're not getting what you want, it's because you haven't changed your mind about yourself. And the universe, or this thing we can call God, since it works in, as, and through you, can only work at the level of your consciousness. It cannot exceed your understanding. It cannot exceed your consciousness. So when you stretch your consciousness, it comes to fill that up. So when you see yourself as a magnificent human being, as a wonderful individual, and you know that you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter, you have stretched your consciousness. And then this thing that we call God can do something with that. I always say to myself, God is that polite that God will not butt in. You know, God won't say, if I say, I want this, that, the other thing, God doesn't say, no, I don't think that's good for you. God doesn't do that. God is too polite to ever butt in. So you have to come up to that God consciousness so that you're learning to think God thoughts after it, that you're learning to see how wonderful you are, how wonderful God is, how wonderful everything is. And then it changes. Then it changes. Your whole life changes. I have a lady today that's in the mortgage business. And of course she's going on, all these mortgages fall apart. You know, that's the industry. She said, you know, you get this done and then something happens and this happens and that happens. And I said to her, do you realize that belief creates experience? Experience does not create belief. It looks like that because it happens so quickly. But you have to believe, and she started to believe in the industry, in the mortgage industry, where mortgages fall through. All right, mortgages do fall through. So what did I tell her? I said, you have to look at the industry different. And you have to look at yourself differently, and you have to know that you only draw the right and perfect people to you, the ones where the mortgage does not fall through. But because you don't know your worth, and because you think that it does that, you draw that type of person to you. You see? And she draws the people so that she can say, see, I told you that was going to fall through. I never really get what I want. They promised this and I got it, but it didn't come. Mortgages are closing all day long, people. Mortgages are closing all day long. So learn to attract the mortgages that close and not the ones that don't. Now, we have raised our consciousness to a level that we call the law of cause and effect, which is also the law of attraction. And we try to live in the law of cause and effect, meaning with our thinking we are creating something. But this lady and many other people are living in what? They're living in the law of averages. 3 out of 4 mortgages go down the tubes. That's the law of averages. Don't live in the law of averages. Don't live in the law of averages. You're saying that's a choice. You don't have to do that. If you go to a doctor and you have some chronic disease or some life-threatening disease, and the doctor says, well, only 1 in 10 people live through this, what side are you going to jump on?
The one.
But most people, they jump on the 10. They jump on the 10. That's the law of averages. Don't live in the law of averages. Move your consciousness up to the law of cause and effect and say, I am the one that's causing this, and I'm causing this with my thinking, and I'm changing my thinking right here and right now, and I know that I am worthy of this. So therefore, it has to come to me. And it comes to you. You attract the things into your life that you want. You attract the things into your life that you want. I also explained to her, she said, well, I work so hard at these things. I work so hard and I'm doing so hard. And blah, blah, blah. I said, hard work only produces perspiration. It doesn't produce anything else. God, this thing that we call God, never asks us to try harder. God never asks us to try harder. God asks us to believe more. It is done with your belief. And it's done with your belief in yourself. It's done with your belief in yourself. You see so many people out there say, oh, God is mighty. Well, that's all well and good. But what has God done for you lately? And can you use God? Yes, learn to use God. But learn to use the God that's in as and through you so that you see yourself in a different light. You see yourself as bigger. You see yourself with more. And you claim all the unique qualities that you have. And then things start to come to you. They just start to come to you. Okay? That's the way that's done. I have a little sign here. I had this as a magnet. A friend of mine gave it to me years ago, and I had it on my refrigerator for the longest time. And it fits in with tonight's title. Tonight's talk, by the way, is work. This says, to be happy, don't do whatever you like. Like whatever you do. Don't do whatever you like. Like whatever you do. We're going to hold that one thought, one moment. And we're going to go back to God bless you.
Yes.
God is always blessing you. That expression I explained to you before. When somebody sneezes and they say, God bless you, that was originated during the Black Plague. And as soon as somebody sneezed, they realized that they were going to die. So they immediately said, God bless you. God is always blessing you. You do not need to say, God bless you, when you sneeze. God is always blessing you. The reason why I point that out is that still has a residual effect on people. You see, that's in race mind. That if you sneeze, you're getting sick. So God bless you. I love to sneeze. And I don't get sick. Just a little sideline, yes?
I have two opposite race mind alerts.
Okay.
There was an article in the LA Times that they got the approval and are building the Institute of Peace. You know, somebody was saying how there's always been a Department of War.
Yeah.
Well, now there's going to be peace, and it's built at the south end of the mall. And it will be
in Washington?
In Washington, D.C. So that, I thought, was a really amazing thing. And then I watched an interview tonight with Angelina Jolie, because she has this movie coming out about Danny Pearl, who was the journalist who was killed in 2003. And Larry King asked her, well, you didn't show in the movie when they killed him or when they were doing the ad or whatever they were doing. She said, because as long as we keep showing the videos that they want the media to show, it will continue to grow and grow. And
yes.
That's not what yes. we want to keep doing.
Yes.
I thought.
What you focus on expands. What you focus on grows. So learn to focus on the right things in your life, the things that you want to grow in your life. But we have a tendency to always be picking about the bad things in our life. So every day, think of all the wonderful things in your life and give thanks for all the wonderful things in your life. You'll find you'll have so many wonderful things in your life, there'll be no room for bad things in your life. There'll be no room for bad in your life. So let's go back to this. Okay. To be happy, don't do whatever you like. Like whatever you do. So many people think that they, on a job, I don't like my job. I hear people say that all the time. I don't like my job. Learn to like your job, people. It doesn't mean you have to stay with it for 40 years. It doesn't mean you have to stay with it for a year even. But while you're there, you have to learn to love whatever you're doing. That is another choice that you have. And the best way to work yourself out of a job is to work yourself into the job. So if you work yourself into the job, and you start to like the job will become wonderful for you. And it will also, if you work yourself into a job, you get very efficient at the job, everyone notices that. Somebody is going to come along and say, you know, I want you in my organization. Because they see what you've done. They see that you made something out of that job. But if you sit around balking about your job all the time, you're going to be in bad shape. And we spend too many hours in our life working at things, not to enjoy them. I know many people who can't wait for Friday. They put their life on hold for 5 days while they go to work. And then when Friday comes, then they just explode and they're very happy. And then Sunday night, they start to get depressed again. And they have, because they have to go back to work. Do you people realize that most heart attacks occur on Monday? Because people have to go back to work and they don't like their work. So they get a heart attack. Keeps you out of work, you know. It's a great excuse. I can't go to work now, I just had a heart attack. I can't come in today, I had a heart attack. You have to learn to like everything that you do. You have to learn to love everything that's in front of you. We're not taught that. Because we're taught by appearances. We're taught that things don't go that way. But you can't love everything. You can love everything. You don't have to like it. But you have to learn to love everything. When you learn to love everything, everything changes. You know, if you learn to love the traffic, then you have no trouble with the traffic whatsoever. Anyone here is having trouble with traffic anymore? No. When you have trouble with traffic, it's because you hate traffic. When you learn to love traffic and realize that you're the one that's creating the traffic, you can do it. You can do it.
It's only the other people in the car that noticed it. And then if I don't comment back to them, they change their mind about it.
Oh, that notice the traffic.
Yeah, well, they'll notice the traffic, and then I won't say anything.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, they'll talk about something else.
Yes.
And we're still, you know,
right,
driving at 5 miles an hour, but so what?
Yeah, we did this also just a few weeks ago. We went in the car and Sandy got grumpy and so...
I fell asleep!
Just changed our mind. We started to sing and so on. The trip was over very quickly.
Yes. Yes. This is what it means when you hear the expression, you are the cause unto your own experience. Not only are you causing that experience, you can change the experience. They started to sing. It changed the whole experience. It changed the whole experience. Now, it doesn't rain here in California that much. But when we were children in Pennsylvania, it rained a great deal. We loved the rain as children. We ran out. We played in the rain. Grown-ups said, ugh, it's a rainy day. Oh, I can't do this. I can't. I don't feel good on it. What does a rainy day have to do with anything? You see? You've given your power away. We're always giving our power away. We give it away to the traffic. And we say, oh, and we get all upset over the traffic. We give it away to the weather. We give it away to so many things. Keep your power inside of you. Make the choices. How do I want to feel about this? Remember? Learn to think the thoughts that you want to think. Learn to feel the feelings that you want to feel. And you can do that. And when you do that, the whole thing changes. The whole atmosphere changes. But you have to do it. You're the one who has to change your mind. No one can do that for you. No one can eat for you, and no one can think for you. You have to do that one on your own. So you have that power. That's the wonderful gift that you were given by this thing that we call God. You have the power to change your mind. You also have the power to think any thought that you want to think. And you have the power to imagine anything that you want to imagine. And how many times do you hear people say, I cannot imagine that? You have to start to use your imagination. You have to be able to imagine it. If you can't imagine yourself having $1 million, it's very unlikely that you will ever have $1 million. But if you can imagine yourself with $1 million or more, and you can see what you're going to do with that, you will create $1 million. It's done with our thinking. It's done with this mind. It is always going to boil down to you. It's a wonderful little affirmation, and it is. If it is to be, it is up to me. If it is to be, it is up to me. You have to do it. But you have to realize that that means you have to get up, move your feet. God helps those who help themselves. But it doesn't mean that God is not helping you. God will immediately help you. And you have to realize that you're connected to this power, to this intelligence that can always help you. So you can remain the Fun and Entertainment Committee. You can make God the Ways and Means Committee. But you have to move. We say in religious science, you treat and you move your feet. You have to do something. The little German proverb that I have in my bedroom says, begin to weave, and God will furnish the thread. But you have to start the process. You have to start it. Now, since this is called prosperity and abundance, including money, if you want money, how would you treat and move your feet? To convince the universe, or this thing that we call God, that you are serious. Wouldn't saving $1 a week start to do something for you? A lot of people want prosperity and abundance, and they want money, but they never save $1. They never save $1. What is that telling the universe? They're not serious. If you start to save $1 and you find out how easy it is to save $1, then you increase that to $2, $5, $10, and before you know it, you have a lot of money saved up. You have a lot of money saved up. Do you know who has most of the money in this country?
You. Pardon? You.
Me? Little old ladies.
Sure.
Little old ladies have most of the money in this country because they've saved all their lives. And you'd be surprised how much they can save when you realize that some of them started out only making $16 a week at a job. But they were able to take and put a penny away, a dollar away, whatever they put away, and you'd be surprised how many little old women have tons of money. Because they knew the value of saving something. And they saved. They saved. I have a friend upstairs from my condo, Nancy. She's 83. She's fallen and hurt her arm. So we were taking care of her, and I said to Nancy, you've got to get caregivers in here 24 hours a day. And I said, you can afford it, Nancy. I said, you work for Aetna. So you can't tell me that you don't have a good insurance policy, that you don't have a good pension plan, and I know perfectly well that you've invested your money. And she looked at me and she said, yes, Dallas, you know I'm very rich. I said, yes, now it's time to start using some of that money. She said, good. She never owned a microwave. I said, you've got to get a microwave because you're not going to get this food because I was running it up and down the steps to her. She said, okay. So we bought her a microwave. Now, she's got caregivers around the clock, and she's being taken care of very well. But she had money. But you had to tell her how to use it also. But you have to learn to that stretching your prosperity consciousness to save even $1. That's why we have the red envelopes, remember? If you save just one little thing, And you don't miss a dollar. If you take a dollar out of your pocket, I love to hide money, by the way. I hide money on myself. No, because then I do. I say, well, it's not available. You know, I forget where, I forget that I hid it. And then when I find it, I'm absolutely excited about the whole thing. You have to do little things like that to stretch your consciousness to have money around. Did you go to the bank and get those?
I was at the bank.
Wrappers?
I didn't get the wrappers, but I'm teaching a class there Saturday. Perhaps I shall remember.
You'll bring them for the class.
Oh.
You'll bring them for the class.
Bring them for the class.
Does anyone here know, when I brought the money wrapper, some people had never seen a money wrapper. Do you know what a money wrapper is?
Coins?
No, everyone thinks they're coins.
A paper band.
They're a paper band, and they'll say 500, 1,000, 10,000, 100. They're bands that you put around money.
They're 20s, 10s, 50s.
Yes, and they go up to 500, 1,000, $10,000 bands. And go to your bank and ask, say, I want money wrappers. I want the bands, the money bands, not the coins.
And they give them?
Sure.
Well, of course they give them.
Well, yeah, they use them.
They use them. They may give you some old ones, but who cares? The idea is to look at them and keep them around so that your mind sees that. And then you have a $500 band there. You start visualizing that being filled up for yourself. Start looking at that, building up. I have a little box I keep money in, and I love to open the box, and it's my treasure chest, and I go, ooh, look at that, money, money. Then I have another little habit that I do, which I forgot, keep forgetting to tell you. But first I'll tell you this one. I always put a $50 bill or a $100 bill on top of them. So when this whole bottom could be dollar bills. But when I look at it, and I see the 100 on top, I see the whole thickness. You see, and my mind says, oh, $100 bill's there. We're always tricking our mind, people. We're making our mind see something. We have to do that for ourselves. All right, what I always forget to tell you, and every time I do this, and I say, oh, I must remember to tell the class. I never touch money, spend money, pick up money, and see money without saying thank you, God. I never touch money, see money, feel money, use money without saying thank you, God. Now, remember we write on our check, God bless and multiply this money quickly. When you start to realize that, then you start to realize that this thing that we call God is the source of your supply. And then you start to love money. And then money starts to love you. You become a magnet for money, and money is attracted to you. But it's a wonderful thing. Every time you pick up money, say, thank you, God. When I open my wallet, and I say, oh, thank you, God. Every morning before I put my wallet in my pocket, I open it like this. I only see the tops of the bills. I say, oh, money, thank you, God. And I put it in my wallet. And I put it in my wallet. Today, I had $26 in my wallet. I happened to look. And I said, oh, thank you, God. That is more than enough for today. That is more than enough for today. And lo and behold, it's more than enough for today. Now, I bought different things. I ate out. And I have $16 left. So I must have spent $10 somewhere along the way. But probably somebody bought me lunch. That's money, and that's prosperity, and that's abundance. So $26 was more than enough for today. And then I let that go, and I thank that I have that. And then somebody things happen and the money comes. But most people, oh, I only have $26. I'm not going to get through the day on $26. I only have a dollar. I'm not going to get through the day on a dollar. You have to know, oh, I only have a dollar. I can get through the day on this dollar. If you only have a dollar, try that. Only walk out of the house with a dollar, but say, ha, this dollar is more than enough for today. You'll be going out someplace and somebody say, let me take you to lunch. Let me buy you a Starbucks. Let me do this. And you'll come home, have that dollar, and say, oh, that dollar was enough for today. That dollar was enough for today. You see, you have to see prosperity and abundance, including money. But when somebody gives you something, when you can manifest things, that is money. That is your prosperity. But everyone thinks, oh, I only have a dollar. No. Ah, I have a dollar. Thank you, God. That is more than enough for today. And it will be enough for today. It will be enough for today. One day, I went out of the house with no money in my wallet whatsoever. And I said to myself, oh, this should be interesting. Somebody took me to dinner. They took me to lunch. You want to go to a movie? I never said, oh, I don't have any money. I can't go to the movie. When we got to the movie, they paid for it. I went through the whole day with an empty wallet, but I had prosperity and abundance the whole day long. Never equate money with prosperity and abundance. That's why this class is called Prosperity and Abundance, including money. You see, money is the last thing. Why is money always the last thing?
People first, then money, then things.
That's not the point.
Money is never the issue. Yes, he's got it. He gets the A. Money is never the issue. You see? And everyone wants to make money the issue. I can't do this because I have no money. Right. Never say that in your life. Don't say that in your life. Money has nothing to do with it. Money is a byproduct. Money is a side effect of your thinking, of your consciousness. And when you know that you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter, and that you live in a prosperous universe that's ready to take care of you, people are going to say, oh, let me buy you a cup of coffee. Let me buy you a dinner. Let me give you this. Let me give you that. And you get those things. How many people here are still going to the mailbox looking for checks? Good. Last week I received $400 in the mail. Three different checks totaling $400. This week, and the week is not over, a check for $100 has come. I never give up. But you know, I run into the mail person and I always say to her, now make sure you put those checks in the mail. And she always giggles. She thinks I'm joking. You see, and the day I said to her, that better be a check in there for me, after she, because they won't let you reach in while they're there. They have to close and then you have to open it with the key. Pulled it out, and it was a check. It was a check. You see, you have to know that.
You've said this many times, but I hear again, if you do not have money, then what do you say when you want something and it's not there? You say,
I'm choosing not to purchase that right now.
That's
you say. I'm just choosing not to purchase that. It doesn't mean that I don't have the money. I am the one that's choosing not to purchase it. You don't say, I don't have the money. Because if you say, I don't have the money, what does your mind say to you?
Okay.
You don't have any money. And it makes no money for you. But if you look at the item and you say, oh, I'm choosing not to purchase that right now. But then you let your mind go to work on how to manifest the money to be able to buy it. But most people stop themselves right away because I don't have the money, I can't do it. And then they right out of their mind. Instead of saying, oh, I don't have the money, but I love that item. And that item I'm going to use. I'm going to use that. Yes. Did I tell the tray story here in class? I told you the tray story. The lady upstairs, 83, the rich one.
Rich.
Yeah, she said, I'm rich. I just loved it when she said that. In fact, I kissed her. I did, right in the top of my forehead here. Because that's wonderful to be able to look at somebody. She looked me right in the eye and said, yes, I'm rich. I said, yeah, I know you are. You know?
Yeah. How'd you know?
I can tell, I can smell richness a mile away. I have a nose for that. We're talking about the law of attraction and how we attract things into our life. And after the people who attended the secret and so forth, you've heard me say all the time, and you have the mental equivalent, which always, you must get a warmth of feeling. You must hook something with a feeling. So I walked up to Nancy's, and there, for the first time, I'd never seen it before, and one of the caregivers must have gotten it out to serve her, was this most beautiful tray with cranes on it. Oriental cranes. I like Oriental stuff. Well, I took one look at that, and my eyes bugged out. I got this wonderful feeling, and I knew right away, that hook went right out and hooked it. And I knew in consciousness it was mine. I just knew that that was mine. And I also knew that she was going to give it to me. So I walked into her bedroom. She's propped up, and I said, Nancy, where'd you get that tray out there? She said, which one? I said, the one with the cranes on it. She said, do you want it? I said, yes, thank you very much. I have it at home now, all polished up and hanging on the wall. I showed it to you on the wall. Mm-hmm. That's how you get things, people. That's how you get things. It's wonderful. Use that. You use that in real estate. You know perfectly well, and you get a feeling the place sells, or you get a feeling about the buyer, and it's the feeling that's doing it. The life of the organism, people, is feeling. The life of the organism is feelings. Your life is feelings. We're always dealing with feelings. We want to say that it's everything else, but it's always feelings. And it's always going to be feelings about yourself. How are you feeling about yourself? Not only did I hook that when I looked at it, I knew that that belonged to me right away, because I knew I was worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and I matter, and I wanted that. You know, all right, call it coveted if you wish. I don't care what you call it, it's on my walls. I have it. Now that was prosperity and abundance. I didn't use any money. I didn't use any money to get it. I have tons of things that I've never used any money to get, but I have them. Give up the idea that money is what's giving you what you want. It is not. It's here in your consciousness. Build a consciousness that's rich. Build a consciousness that's rich. Learn to live in opulence. Every time I am in my home, I look around and I say to myself, I live in splendor. I live in splendor. And lo and behold, I live in splendor. It's done with your consciousness. It's done with your consciousness. And if I can do it, you can do it. So see yourself as the magnificent people that you truly are. And it's wonderful. And so are you. And so am I. And there ends the lesson. Thank you.